Sundays and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. A 14-year-old school shooting suspect faces a Georgia judge.
In essence, you're charged with four counts of felony murder, as outlined in the state warrants that have been issued against you.
Colt Gray will not face a possible death sentence if convicted. His father has been charged, too. In New York, CBS's Katrina Kaufman tells us there's an effort to overturn the sex abuse conviction against former President Trump in the E. Jean Carroll case.
Trump's attorneys are saying that the judge was prejudicial against Trump, that there are certain witnesses who testified that shouldn't have been allowed to.
Well, CBS's Jill Schlesinger says a Fed rate cut is likely after today's August employment report indicating 142,000 jobs created.
They want to see that the labor market's cooling. They want to see the inflation rate coming down. I think the rates will go down by a quarter of a percentage point. It does not mean that that's a fait accompli, but that's what it looks like.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More official prison time for the Waukesha Christmas parade attacker. A judge in Milwaukee yesterday sentenced Daryl Brooks to 9 years for running over the mother of his children just weeks before he used the same vehicle to kill six people at the Christmas parade. Brooks is serving six consecutive life sentences for the infamous attack. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz tells Civic Media's Chad Holmes what it took to win six terms in a Republican-leaning U.S. House district.
I've learned how to compromise without compromising my values. I don't believe I have cornered the market on all the good ideas, and I don't believe you get your way only.
Walz says he believes there are more things that unite Americans than divide them. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Former President Donald Trump will make a campaign stop at Central Wisconsin Airport in Mosinee on Saturday. Here's Brittany Merlot.
The airport says that they are expecting 4,000 to 5,000 people to attend the event. Gates to the rally will open at 9 a.m. and Trump is expected to speak at 1 p.m. CWA says flights will not be impacted by the event as the rally will be held outside of the airport. The former president has been in Mosinee before, in 2020, and the layout for Saturday's stop will be similar, with grass lots to park in and bus transportation. There will also be an area for protesters, likely in the West Event lot by the terminal along Highway 153, so that they'll have a place that's relatively visible, which is what they asked for. All the airport asks is if you do come to the event, be mindful and pick up after yourself. You can expect an hour of possible traffic and parking delays. And to go to the rally, you must reserve a ticket.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The NFL season is underway. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Baltimore Ravens 27-20. Tonight, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil to open up the Packers campaign. Head coach Matt LaFleur is excited to get started.
I think our guys are truly excited. There's been a lot of work that's been put in from the end of last season to now. I think they are excited about the opportunity to go out there and compete, you know, in front of the world.
Kickoff tonight is after 7 p.m. You can hear the game on WRJN in southeastern Wisconsin, WRCO in southwestern Wisconsin, and WCQM in northern Wisconsin. Today is the start of a three-game homestand for the Brewers as they take on the Colorado Rockies. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games over the Chicago Cubs entering play today. The Brewers have lost 3 of their last 4 games, all of them in extra innings. And tonight is the third week of high school football in Wisconsin. Check your local Civic Media station for matchups. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with a sprinkle or two possible today. We'll get to 61 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the north at around 15 to 20. Tonight, clear 43. Tomorrow, sunshine 64. By Sunday, sunny with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin battles the Coyotes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Many people struggle with a lot of these things, though, like making and maintaining friends, making new friends. Mm. These are things that actually, like, I'm very envious of the people that are good at making friends or can just start a conversation with just about anybody.
What people don't understand is that's why James hired me and Melissa, not because, you know, we're talented or anything. He's lonely.
Very.
That's how he gets friends. He hires them to work with him.
My friend's contact list, it is three.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, be here next time when our old friend Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badgers, stops by with his annual picks, and our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and I am sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is on vacation, but will be returning on Monday, and we're very excited to see her. I've got Sweet Cal B on the boards right here. I also have in studio, not on the live stream, but in studio, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the Civic Media's very own political editor, Dan Schaefer, right here talking to me. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well, Greg. It's a wonderful Friday. I'm so happy to be here in Waukesha with you in studio to recombobulate.
Because this is our stomping ground, Waukesha. You're from Waukesha, right?
I'm from Waukesha County. I grew up in Pewaukee.
Okay.
Yeah, but like spent a lot of time in downtown Waukesha in high school.
Oh, yeah.
There was a coffee shop I used to go to that had an open mic night on Fridays.
What was it called?
It was called Sprizzo's.
Yes.
My sister and I, my sister's a terrific singer. And so I would go play some guitar and she would sing at the open mic night. Shout out Sprizzo's.
Sprizzo's used to be a place called Moon Shadows when I was in high school. And I was in a band. And usually the bands playing there were like rock or pop or jazzy. I was in a death metal band, and we were invited to play the last night that Moon Shadows was a thing. And I remember playing, and people were starting to get a little precocious, and they're starting to tear things off the wall. And I said, hey, guys, just be cool, man. We don't want to get in trouble. We don't have to pay for anything. And you just hear from the top of the stairs, the owner go, I don't care. Destroy everything. And it was just piles of furniture everywhere. So, yes, Sprizzo/Moonshadows, very, very deep place in my heart here in Waukesha. If you want to get in touch with us, call us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text from that number. You can also leave a comment on the live stream that's available on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. We call it Twitter in this house. At 11:33, I got Todd Michaels, who is the producer extraordinaire at Civic Media, joining me talking about all things that he loves, including ghosts, because he's a firm believer. We got some great comments on the live stream with regard to, hey, what do you get from Culver's? We got PJ gets the chicken sandwich with onion rings, and Alicia Saunders likes to try different things, but when it comes to custard, it's either turtle sundae, cookie dough, M&M concrete mixer, and double M&M concrete mixer. I'm seeing a pattern, Alicia. we got, like, you know, and Todd Michaels will be on the show. I'm with Calvin between tenders and a deluxe crinkle fries and curds.
Double sides.
Wow. I didn't know. What's up, money bags? All right. Thank you very much for letting us know what you order at Culver's, because that is a sacred thing to share with friends. Speaking of sacred thing to share with friends, Dan is sharing wonderful stories with us. Five stories. This is story number three. Dan, what's going on?
Yeah, we're recombobulating on five stories here. So first we talked about Tim Walz's interview on the Chad Holmes show and sharing his Culver's order.
Exactly.
He's said he's a mushroom Swiss guy.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the way he said that too. Yeah. It's just like, not like, oh, I order a mushroom Swiss. I'm a mushroom Swiss guy.
Yeah.
I kind of like the way he put that. And then we talked about the story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week about voter ID and the legacy of that law. The third one I wanted to talk about, a headline from Urban Milwaukee. Milwaukee wins $25 million grant to rebuild Center Street and add protected bike lanes. This is a grant that is being brought home by Wisconsin's only senator, Tammy Baldwin. the only senator who you ever hear doing things for Wisconsin, at
least. We have a senator and we have a conspiracy theorist in Washington.
Yes, that's right. We could get into that too. But let's talk about the Center Street project, because I think this is a pretty big deal for Milwaukee. And, you know, we know that Milwaukee has faced some serious reckless driving concerns in recent years. And we know Mayor Cavalier Johnson has made that one of his top priorities since he stepped into the job a couple of years ago. But I think this one in particular, you know, we saw this an announcement, kind of similar one earlier this year, around 6th Street in Milwaukee, connecting the north and the south side, rebuilding that street as well. But I think this stretch of Center Street that runs east to west, you know, if you drive any this part of Milwaukee between Teutonia and Sherman Boulevard, this is a neighborhood that could really use a lot of investments. And some of the worst intersections you'll ever experience are along this stretch. I think of one, 27th Street, Fond du Lac Avenue, and Center Street, where those three streets come together. There's a library right there. It's a disaster. Like, there was one time where, like, there was a school bus that drove into the library because of a car accident that was happening there. So this is a terrific investment in neighborhoods that really need it. And we, you know, so often we'll hear about, oh, you know, why aren't you investing in neighborhoods as opposed to downtown? This is one of those things you hear a lot in Milwaukee media. Well, here's an investment, $25 million in the near north side, in neighborhoods that really need it, and in a street that could really benefit from it. You know, I think the protected bike lanes thing, people can mock it as, like, oh, who's really biking in the city, blah, 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 whatever.
A lot of people,
for one. But also, you put those protected bike lanes in, that is a safety measure for everyone else on the road.
Yes.
And you can't, you know, if there are, you know, things blocking you from run, you know, driving into the bike lane or whatever, we're seeing some more of these kind of, quote-unquote, traffic calming measures all over Milwaukee. Not only is this giving people a safer place to bike in the city, it's going to make the rest of the street a whole lot safer, too. So I think this is just a really terrific thing, and kudos to Tammy Baldwin, Gwen Moore, Mayor Cavalier Johnson for making a project like this happen.
And kudos to the city engineering department for coming up for these designs. We actually had someone from that department on the show a few months ago to talk about 6th Street specifically and those traffic calming measures that were happening. Because at first you look at them and they look very weird because you're like, and I did this. The first time I drove after it was done, I drove into the bike lane thinking that was the turn lane. And they were like, nope, it's one lane now. It's going to slow you down. It's going to make you drive more attentively, and it's going to make things better. And, you know, when you invest that kind of money in neighborhoods, then you bring people to invest their money into the neighborhoods and protecting people, protecting drivers, walkers, and bikers. And it will inspire more people to bike, too. I always hate that retort of, like, well, who's even doing this? More people than you know. And they're not discounted because you don't do this thing. And biking is important. And you want to make it a bike-friendly city. So this is fantastic news.
It really is. And, you know, kind of the bookends of where this project will be, Sherman Boulevard is also a place that is being, you know, kind of reimagined by the city through other things. So this will connect to Sherman Boulevard. You know, Center Street goes past two large Milwaukee public high schools, Washington and North Division. Goes past the, as I mentioned before, in that terrible intersection by Fond du Lac and 27th Street, the Milwaukee Public Library, Center Street Library is there. So these are places that you want people to be able to walk and bike to schools and libraries. Like, it's a simple thing to say that you should be able to get to school safely. You should be able to be able to walk to a library. You should be able to take your bike somewhere in the city. And I really do think this is genuinely a terrific project. And one that is really going to benefit the city in a lot of ways.
That intersection you're talking about, I think the one on Fond du Lac, where it's like there are 8 ways to drive legally and just a dozen ways to just go the wrong way down a street, where it's just so many points. Those are just awful. I don't like them in any city at all. I don't understand why they're designed that way, but hopefully this will work and do something for the neighborhood and protect people. What a novel idea.
Yeah. So,
thank you, Tammy Baldwin. Thank you, Gwen Moore. Thank you, Cavalier Johnson.
Yeah, we had our other senator on Conservative Talk Radio this week talking about how the Great Depression was an inside job, and then we have another senator bringing $25 million back to Milwaukee. I don't know. Maybe there is a difference between the two parties after all, Greg.
I personally feel like Ron Johnson, like when he first got in office, he was just a business guy who got the job he wanted because he's a rich business guy.
Ran in a favorable election cycle, 2010. A lot of Republicans won that year.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, he was part of that.
But, man, it's like he's our own little Donald Trump where you get to watch the deconstruction of his brain where it's like he's just surrounding himself around these people. I don't even understand.
Is there a conspiracy theory he does not believe in? Like, I've never even heard of it. You know, I'm kind of fascinated by conspiracy theories generally.
Me too.
I had never heard of the Great Depression is an inside job.
I mean, this is right up there with, you know, that gravity isn't a thing, right? I'm like, get away from me. I just want my apple juice. Thank you very much.
He was also talking about wanting this week. He was talking about wanting RFK Jr. as the Health and Human Services Secretary. It's just he's so far off the deep end. Our senior senator.
Senior minded. That was story number three. What is story number four you're recombobulating with us today?
Story number four. There were some comments made by the members of the Republican presidential ticket yesterday about childcare.
Yes.
Donald Trump rambled incoherently for several minutes, not talking about childcare in response to a question on childcare. And then J.D. Vance also had an answer. He was doing an interview with Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
And was talking about, you know, talked about a number of things with childcare, but also talked about, like, you know, maybe you could have your grandparents watch the child. And it's just like, this is not a serious solution. This is not a serious person. This is not a serious approach to addressing the issue that parents and providers are facing with the rising cost of childcare. It's just like suggesting, haven't people thought of that? Oh, of course. I'll ask my mom to help out. Yeah. It's like, oh, for the first time, I will have somebody as, you know, just suggesting this. But childcare is such a big issue. I've written a lot about it at the Recombobulation Area over the years. You know, and as a parent of young children, it's such a huge part of, you know, the challenges that families face in this day and age, especially when more and more families have two working parents.
Yeah.
And you need robust childcare options, and hoping that the child's grandparents or aunt and uncle or whatever it is can help out with childcare. That's not a solution.
No.
That's not a policy. And he talked about a whole bunch of other things too. And it's just like beyond that, but it was just a bunch of, and you hear this a lot from Republicans. We heard it in Wisconsin when this issue came up, and, you know, they're talking about like deregulating this and removing barriers and this. And it's just a lot of convoluted ways to talk about how you don't want to fund childcare.
No,
and you don't want to fund anything.
What I loved was Donald Trump's solution was raising tariffs so high that this will be put into the economy to lower the cost of childcare. I don't know what Department of Wharton he went to where this was talked about, but this makes no sense whatsoever. It's absolute, and I just, yeah,
it's a lot of nonsense.
A lot of nonsense. We're gonna keep talking to Dan Shaver from the Recombobulation Area, as well as our Civic Media's political editor. We're gonna talk about the fifth story. I think it has something to do with the jersey you're wearing.
Right.
Don't go
game day, baby.
Game day in Brazil, baby. Don't go anywhere, folks. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
It's time for Badger football. Get ready to plan your trip to Camp Randall this fall and enjoy our time-honored traditions like Jump Around and the iconic tunes of the Wisconsin Marching Band. With great tickets still available, you can join the crowd for exciting matchups against longtime conference foes like Penn State and brand-new Big Ten rival Oregon. Don't miss your chance to experience Badger football game day. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
So fly like a cheesehead. Like a cheesehead, like a cheesehead. Now I'm feeling so fly like a cheesehead. Like a cheesehead, like a cheesehead.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane, Matt and Air, who will be returning on Monday. Got Sweet Cal B on the boards playing. What song was that?
That was a remix or a parody of Like a G6, and it's like a, feeling so fly like a cheesehead.
Gotcha.
Okay. The amount of Packers parody songs that are out there, it's just remarkable.
They're not America's team. They are the world's team.
That's right.
It's really what it is. And that voice you were hearing right there is the founder of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, here with five stories to recombobulate. Dan, do you want to give a quick rundown of what we've been covering so far since you've been here?
Sure. So we started by talking about the Tim Walz interview that was on the Civic Media Network this morning and on with the Chad Holmes show. He shared his Culver's order. So we've been talking a little bit throughout the show, getting a lot of comments about what people want to order from Culver's. Tim Walz, a mushroom Swiss guy. and then we talked about a story in the Journal Sentinel this week on voter ID and the legacy of that and the you know, just kind of the details of what that has meant for people in an era where Republicans are continuing to advance voter suppression laws. We talked about Tammy Baldwin announcing $25 million for road improvements in the city of Milwaukee. That's going to be a really important investment. And we talked about J.D. Vance and Donald Trump making some incoherent, ill-informed, just completely nonsensical comments on childcare.
You know, I have the clips waiting, like ready to go with Trump and Vance, but they're ridiculous. And I'd rather spend more time talking about our fifth story, which is game day. Are you ready for some football?
It is Packers game day. We are back. We are so back, Greg Bach. We've got Packers Eagles from Brazil. This is going to be quite the thing.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I am not the biggest football fan, but much like I wasn't the biggest basketball fan last year or before last year, being a part of this network, you hear people, we talk about the Bucks, listening to Mike Clemens talk about the Bucks. So I get a general idea. So I'm sure I'll pick up some stuff, but for the life of me, I do not understand why Sao Paulo, Brazil.
I think, you know, the NFL is trying to make it a more global game.
Yeah.
You know, we've obviously seen the NBA have a lot of success with this. We see all the international players, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and so on.
I don't know if you've heard of Gal.
Not sure if you've heard of him. But you know, they do these games in London. Yeah. I think they did some stuff in Mexico City.
Okay.
And now doing something in Brazil. It's just a really interesting, decision. And you know, there's so many weird details that we've been seeing. Like there's the issue with not being able to tweet from Brazil right now. Some issues.
Oh, that's right. Because Twitter. I almost said
we're calling it Twitter. I'm still calling it Miller Park and Altera Coffee, and it takes me a while.
It's the first star building. I'm going to go to the ballpark, the county stadium.
Yeah, that's right.
Twitter is banned in Brazil. We had not had a chance to talk about that this week.
Yeah, so that's weird. So we're not going to experience the game the same way. I frankly don't totally understand the details for that, so I don't really want to comment on it too much.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about this Packers season. You know, the season ended in such an exciting way last year with, you know, going into Dallas and blowing out the Cowboys and then really having a chance, almost winning against San Francisco. And a lot of people are picking the Packers to really make some noise in the NFC this year. And I think the Eagles is a great way to start because they're going to be one of the top teams in the conference too. You know, they are just a couple of years removed from a trip to the Super Bowl. I think the Eagles are favored in this one, which is interesting because I think a lot of the preseason predictions were saying a little bit down on the Eagles, pretty high on the Packers, especially their offense. Don't really know what's going to happen with their defense yet. They have a new defensive coordinator. That's going to be an interesting thing. You know, it's a great first test of the season against a really good team. And man, I'm excited to watch some Packers football.
I am excited for the excitement. I'm not going to be able to watch the game tonight because I will be working this evening, but I will be checking the score throughout. I love Jordan Love.
Oh yeah.
As an even not of a huge football fan, I just love his energy, what he's brought to the team. You know, made me a little nervous when they're like, he's the highest paid quarterback in the league. I'm like, oh no, please win all your games or everyone's just gonna be mad at you all the time. And that's why I said yesterday, you know, if the Packers do lose tonight, which is possibility,
yeah,
don't get mad at the staff. Don't get mad at Jordan Love. It's one game out of 17, I think, this season.
Mm-hmm.
Got plenty more chances to make it up and do great job. It's just I don't want to see people like, well, see, this is what the problem is. We gave up too much money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the doomsayers will jump in if there is, of course. It's not like people have ever overreacted to a Packer game in Wisconsin before, right?
Jordan loves an inside job. I mean, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're gonna have a good time. I mean, honestly, like I've had more interest in football since Aaron Rodgers left. Wore me thin.
Last season was my favorite Packer season in a long time.
Yeah,
because it was just something new, something different. And you know, the first few games there were some rocky moments, yeah, for Love and for the Packers. You know, especially the defense has had some really rough games at points last year. But the way that the season ended and the way that Jordan Love looked in that final stretch and in that playoff game in Dallas, that was pretty remarkable. And now, you know, just coming into this season with high expectations again, it's just, we've got another great quarterback and we've got great expectations. I love the receivers that the Packers have this year. You know, kind of the group of, there's no number one receiver, but there's, mm-hmm, just like everybody else. There's like four other great receivers, two really good young tight ends on the roster. Signed Josh Jacobs away from Oakland or from Las Vegas Raiders as a running back. So I think that the offense is going to be really high powered, and we're going to really see hopefully something different with the defense, because I think last year the scheme was really not always working, and I hope we see a little bit more of an aggressive style with the new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley and some of the additions that they made on the defensive side of the ball this year. So I'm very excited to watch this team.
Calvin, what about you? What are you thinking tonight? What are you doing? Are you watching the game tonight?
Yeah, I'll watch the game. I think I'm pretty confident the Packers will do well. The Eagles, I don't know. I think they're falling off. I think their time in the sun is over.
Oh,
they still got some good offensive weapons. You know, Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. AJ Brown is a terrific wide receiver, but you know, they've missing some pieces on the defense. And one of the previews that I was seeing was saying that they give up a lot in play action, give up a lot of yards in play action. And if the Packers can, you know, with their new running back, and Jordan Love did a lot of great work in play action last year, you know, there's going to be opportunities to make some plays on offense. Absolutely.
I'm very excited for the Packer fans because Calvin, I'm going to do something very weird. I'm going to make about the Brewers right now. As a Brewers fan, this is the most excited I've felt about this team in a while. Like, mm-hmm, we've done well, we've won the division, but we've always kind of fallen off in that first round. This is a season where I feel like we've got the power and the momentum, and I feel that excitement. So like that excitement you're feeling, it's like, yeah, I get it. Because especially last season, the Packers were like, new guy, young coach, blah, blah, blah. They're not going to go anywhere. Let him get a few years in. And they dominated through all the critics. And that's how I feel the Brewers have done this year.
Yeah.
They were counted out when Craig Counsell left. And Pat Murphy is on the short list for coach of the year. So
he's got to be at the top of the list right now. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to keeping up on the score this week and tonight at the game. And I hope you have a great time. Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulationary and political editor for Civic Media, thank you so much for being here for 5 stories to recombobulate.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Love having you here, coworker.
Coworker.
We got Todd Michaels coming up next, talking about ghosts and other fun things. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Like a cheesehead, like a cheesehead. Now, I'm feeling so fly, like a cheesehead.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is calling for bipartisan action on gun safety after Wednesday's mass shooting at a school in Georgia.
Some of my Republican friends in Congress just finally have to say enough is enough. We have to do something. Together, let's ban assault weapons. Let's require safe storage of firearms.
Biden made the remarks in Wisconsin yesterday while announcing a $7 billion investment to generate renewable energy in rural America. Marathon swimmer Jim Dreyer has given up on his latest attempt to swim from Michigan to Milwaukee. Dreyer spent about 40 hours in the water before throwing in the towel. He says the water wasn't cooperating. It's Dreyer's second unsuccessful attempt since going the distance back in 1998. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. You can get rid of harmful liquids tomorrow at the Wood County Agricultural and Household Clean Sweep. It's Saturday, September 7th from 8 to noon at the Saratoga Town Hall on Highway 73. They won't accept antifreeze, explosives, high-pressured cylinders, motor oil, latex paint, or smoke detectors. If you have questions, you can call the Wood County Health Department at 715-421-8911. Historic Point Boss is having their harvest fair tomorrow. On Saturday, September 7th, you can stop down between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. to take part in the harvest fair. All the buildings will be open, and they'll have demonstrations all day with sauerkraut making, apple pressing for cider, and corn shelling and grinding. The foraging class runs from 9 to 11, and the pavilion dedication happens at 1. The cost is $3 for adults and $1 for children. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Schwabba. America's sweetheart, Haley Welch, is about to launch a new podcast. Wondering who Haley Welch is? She's also known as the Hawktua Girl, who has Hawktua'd her way into our hearts. In addition to being a guest on several other podcasts, introducing a line of merch, and starting a fan club, which you can join for the low, low cost of $200, she is now launching a podcast to, as she says, tell her side of the story. You mean there's more than just Hawktua? The podcast will be produced by Jake Paul's company. The Hawktua Girls podcast will likely be a step up. Twilight is back in animated form. The show will drop on Netflix and tell the Twilight story from Edward Cullen's perspective, as the character played by Robert Pattinson. The story is based on Stephanie Meyer's 2020 novel, Midnight Sun, which reimagines the Twilight story from a different angle. Meyer wrote the original Twilight books in the early 2000s, which were turned into the hit movie franchise. The Twilight movies have grossed over $3.5 billion worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with a sprinkle or two possible today. We'll get to 61 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the north at around 15 to 20. Tonight, clear 43. Tomorrow, sunshine 64. By Sunday, sunny with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Camping, America's pastime. The fresh air, the lack of phone signal, and the ability to relax with a cold beer by the fire. Then the next day, not the best. Take the day to recover and call El Cafe and order tacos to go. Choice of chicken, beef, chorizo, topped with lettuce, cheese, and pico for only $2 a taco. Add french fries for $1. Call El Cafe 715-887-2233 for a meal the whole family will love and a day of recovery for you.
DoorWorks, I have a serious problem, and I don't know if I need you or an exorcist. My garage door opens all on its own without me pushing the button or anything.
Ma'am, let me do a little investigating, and I'll have an answer for you in no time. I discovered the problem, but it took a little detective work. Your equipment is absolutely fine.
Is it possessed, then?
No, ma'am. It's much simpler than that. Sometimes a low battery can trigger the door to open randomly. We've cast out your dead battery, and your door is working fine.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dom Salvia, who joins me to talk about his new show here on Civic Media. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc's Terry Barr brings new music and sparkling conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently on vacation. We'll be returning on Monday. You got me. You got Sweet Cal B on the boards. And right now, we've got our next guest. He is producer, station manager, swell guy, Todd Michaels. Welcome to Matinair on Air, Todd. How are you doing today?
Hey, thanks for having me on. That song choice was absolutely incredible. I don't know who came up with that, Calvin, if that was you. I haven't heard that song in a long time. That rocked.
That was all Calvin.
Nice work.
Calvin is like one of the best. I don't even, unless I need a song to be played as bumper, I'm like, you just do it. I trust you.
I think maybe I need some training or something. Calvin, do you do any classes?
The key is taking our network music library, searching a keyword and picking a song that sounds kind of cool.
And that lesson
will
cost
caring.
You. It's like a chat room right now. All right. So, Todd, you are the station manager up in WGBW, correct?
GBW and WISS, so Northeast Wisconsin. Yep.
There you go. Folks, Todd is just a phenomenal human being. Here's how phenomenal he is. Currently, he's on vacation. And I asked him to do the show a while ago, and then someone said, I think Todd's on vacation. I'm like, no, I wouldn't. He would have told me. And then I found out you were, and I'm like, why didn't you tell me you were on vacation? You're supposed to be resting.
Because if I have a chance to be on the air with Greg Bach, I'm taking it.
Stop
vacation
it.
Or not.
You are just too muchery. All right. Well, we talked about, like, you know, what do we want to talk about in this last half hour? It's Friday. We're going to have fun. It's light and breezy. And you're like, I love ghosts. So here's the thing is, you love ghosts. Some people love ghosts. Some people love ghost stories. Some people have scary stories. That's not all for you. This is a thing for you, right?
For me, it started off like everybody else. Are ghosts real?
Yeah.
You know, I want to go out and get scared tonight, right? Watch a scary movie, see if there's ghosts around. And now for me, when I do investigate, it's more about telling the story of people and places that have been in the past.
Okay.
And so that's really what it's become for me. So it's kind of been an evolution of, I want to go get scared. I want to see a ghost, to these are people that lived and they should still be remembered.
See, I love that. Okay. I am not a believer. Don't be upset with me.
I have to say this to you, because I've been thinking a lot about this.
Yeah.
I'm not somebody that wants you to believe.
Okay.
But with this and with anything else, whether you're talking aliens or you're talking politics, I would rather you had an open mind to hear people's stories and to listen to some of the actual evidence, video and audio, and then say to yourself, if you walk away going, well, you know, there could be something. That's all I want you to do. I want you to have an open mind to it and make your own decision.
Well, and when you frame it in the sense of, I want to do this to remember these individuals and tell their story. That's, for me personally, I believe in that. Regardless of whether you believe in ghosts or not, these individuals should be remembered, especially when you're talking about family, you're talking about friends. Their story should not be forgotten. And I think that's a very important point, because we live in a very, you know, reality world, scary, make you jump out of your seat world, where it's about, we don't care about their story, especially on these TV shows. It's about, like, oh, did we find them? And they honestly, I don't think on those shows care whether or not you believe or if they find anything. They just, it's about the dollar, because it's a TV show. They're
sure, money. Absolutely.
But that notion of, I want them to be remembered and I want to tell their story, I think that's very poignant to me. And I think that's wonderful. So what is it? Tell me about it. What's in your world then of doing what you want to do as far as telling these stories?
Well, I think for me, you know, again, like I said, it started off, the thing that was the catapult for me was the Amityville Horror when that came out in the late 70s.
Yeah.
based on a true story of a haunted house, right? So I was like, well, there's got to be ghosts then. And that it got me interested. Back in the day, the TV shows like Ghost Hunters and stuff like that came out. And I realized people were actually doing investigating and getting some real, what I thought was real evidence. Mm-hmm. And so that's what got me into it. And I have to tell you, for a very long time, nothing ever transpired in any of my investigations. I'm talking years. Like, nothing happened.
Okay.
We didn't record any audio. There was no video. There were no personal experiences. But I kept at it. And when I had my first experience, which actually happened in my own home with a friend of mine who was there.
Okay.
That literally, Greg, I'm going to be honest with you, made me tear up in my eyes because I'd never experienced anything like that before. That's when I said, okay, there might be something. There might be something to this.
And that's the other thing too. I think for me and other people who, you know, would classify themselves as non-believers, is we also come from a very, you know, the ghost is inside the house and it's going to cause damage or harm. And when, I mean, I feel that when it comes to the conversation, like, well, like, I guess for the stories you're telling, like, what is the story? What happened? If you don't mind sharing what happened, were you afraid, or were you like, it seems like you were more taken over by emotion than like, oh my gosh, this is a haunted house. And now I'm
right.
You know, it's Amityville Horror in my home.
So I'd lived in this house for a number of years. Nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
I've been doing investigating again, nothing really experienced. I got a new piece of equipment and I had a friend come over and I said, let's test this thing out. It's something I hadn't used before. I'm not going to get into the whole story because it's so long and drawn out, but we ended up using a piece of equipment called a K2 meter, which measures electromagnetic fields. And there is some belief in the paranormal investigator field that if this thing reacts when there's not electricity around and things of that nature, you may be actually dealing with some sort of energy, whether it's a ghost or a spirit or whatever. And it started working in my house. Okay. I was not believing it. Yeah. I was sitting there, well, it's an old house. We've got some stray voltage coming through it. It's nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I'm a skeptic as much as I do believe. And so it finally stopped. And the questions, we found out that it was a man, an elderly man. He had lived in the house, blah, 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 through question and answer. And it stopped. So we started having a conversation about something else. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, that was nothing. That was nothing. We're making things up. Okay. I lived in a two-story house, wood floors on both stories, a house from 1925 where a guy had his medical practice out of. He was a doctor. And at that moment, somebody or something walked down the hall, the full length of my house, upstairs. We heard it and a door closed. And at that point, that's when my eyes teared up a little bit. My jaw dropped open and my friend said, who else is at home today? And I said, nobody. It's just me and you. And that opened up a whole plethora of things that happened in that house from that point forward.
You say you teared up. What was your feeling then at that point? I mean, because it doesn't sound like you were scared, because if you were scared, you'd run. No. Or so that's what I find very interesting as well.
It was the light bulb. It was the first aha.
I see.
Holy crap. This could be something.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm pretty sure I said some other words, but yeah, it was mind blowing to me. And then, you know, things continued in that house until I moved out. But at that point, then my investigations in other locations and for other people started to actually be fruitful and getting evidence and things of that nature.
If you're just tuning in, we are talking to producer, swell guy, station manager, civic media employee, great human being all around, Todd Michaels, talking about his paranormal investigative world, the world of bringing stories of possibly long forgotten people back to light and telling those stories. After that, it seems like, was it like a floodgate after that then? Like you said you spent many years not getting anything. And was there a point at that where you're like, this is maybe my skeptic brain is right. There is nothing. I'm going to put the equipment away or sell it and just move on to something else. But once you had that first experience in your old house, did it then start to happen more and more? And maybe was that attached to the fact that you were given that sense of belief and you could see it differently now?
Yes. I think the moment I went, okay, there could be something, then I was able to actually allow other energy in, other spirits to come forth. And I truly believe that your intentions going into an investigation, the mm-hmm. people that surround you, all that's very important. If you've got the wrong people with you, if you've got the wrong energy, the negativity and all that kind of stuff, stuff will not happen, right? But if you've got the right group of energy, positive, welcoming, all that kind of stuff, I think you can experience some really wild stuff. A couple of places in southern Wisconsin, Riverside Theater. You got to go there and investigate.
In Milwaukee?
Incredible stuff. In Milwaukee. Okay. Incredible stuff. I can tell you some stuff that I'm not allowed to say on air about some of the stuff that went down that night, but we had voices, we had light play. We had something happen very interesting at the end of the night. The Barrymore Theater in Madison, another great location to check out. Grand Opera House in Oshkosh. I mean, that what happened at the Grand Opera House was mind-blowing and life-changing for me.
Yeah.
But I also think, and I will say this, you start off, you know, kids playing in a graveyard going, are there ghosts? Come on out, you know, and talk to us. And then you lose somebody in your life. I lost my mom.
Yeah.
And that changed the way I investigated, because I realized if my mom, for instance, wanted to hang out at my childhood home once in a while and she was haunting somebody or she was there and they noticed, I would want anybody who investigated that property to be respectful and kind because it's my mom.
Yeah, of course.
So that changed the way I investigated. I didn't provoke. I didn't, you know, I wasn't nasty. I didn't do any of that kind of stuff. I realized that if these spirits, if these energies were real, that I would want to treat them the way I would treat any other human being who's alive.
Absolutely. And that's the thing for me is like, I was part of a podcast series where I had to watch reality TV show. And I watched one of those shows, like whether it's, I don't know if it's Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures, or what, and they were investigating a crime that took place in a gentleman's club. And it was like some of the most disrespect, because like they're trying to find out mm-hmm. what happened to this person. And then they're just doing the most disrespectful things to the venue, as well as this proposed ghost that they're seeing. I'm like, why would I watch this? Why would anyone watch this? This is just schlock. And I feel like it does a great disservice to someone like you, Todd, who goes in it with the purest of intentions, trying to find out more about individuals. And, you know, like you said, like if you met my mom, please be kind, please be respectful.
Absolutely.
And that is not what I saw. I just saw bro dudes just being bro dudes. And really,
well, that would be Ghost Adventurers. And I will just say this. I mean, that's TV, right? They've got to get ratings. They got to get people to watch.
Yeah.
Not something that I enjoy watching. I was part of a team that did some investigations for Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
It's called Haunted State. You can check it out. And we do locations in Wisconsin.
Okay.
I think we were very respectful. I think we got some great evidence. But again, it's always up to the individual listening and watching those things on whether or not it changed their perspective on life after death.
It's a very interesting talk you're having with me, Todd. I'm okay.
You're bored, aren't you?
No, I'm not bored.
You're dozing off over there.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, is everyone sipping me like this? I just can't take a compliment. I'm trying to tell you that I'm very, very intrigued by this, because like at no point in my life, like whether I believed or I didn't, did I ever think of the goal is to connect, you know, because that's not how it's presented in movies and TV. It's seen as something else. It's seen as hunting. And that's an aggressive term. And instead you are just trying to reach out and find out a story. And I think that's much more of an interesting narrative than what I see in media and their portrayal of ghost hunting, ghost investigation, paranormal investigation. So I'm much more interested in that story.
What would it take for you? What would it take for you to actually go, that could be something?
Well, that's what I want to talk about. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and I'm going to talk about that. I have another question for you. And then I want to talk about what would it be like to actually go on a ghost. What would you call it? Not a hunt. An investigation?
Investigation. Yep.
Go with you on an investigation. So we're going to keep talking about this with Todd Michaels. He is Civic Media through and through, producer, station manager, swell guy. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mine.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I have been your guy sitting in for Jane Matt and Air for the past 2.5 weeks, and it's been a lot of fun, and we look forward to Jane being back here on Monday. But right now, we have got not only Cal B behind the boards, who I think is a believer. I think he's a deep believer.
I don't know about a deep believer. I haven't done any investigating, but I'm in a similar place to Todd, I'd say.
Okay. And we are talking to Todd Michaels, who is producer, station manager, civic media buddy, and buddy in general. Swell guy. He is here talking to us today about ghost investigation. And we were talking about the fact that from, I think, a lot of people's perspective, we see what the media gives us. I know that sounds like a very weird, we just listen to what the media says about ghosts. But we see it as a, you know, it's reality shows, it's horror movies. It's not about, like, I don't know, like, a connection to people from the past. And you asked me, what would it take? Ask that question again. What would it take for me to believe?
For you to not necessarily believe, but for you to say, there might be something here. Not necessarily here as a place, but here in general, like in life. There could be something. Maybe I don't know everything that I should know.
Oh, I mean, I am the first to tell you I don't know many things. I think for me, it would be going out with somebody who has the experience and doing something and seeing it from being shown with someone I trust. So like you going out in the world saying, all right, we're going to go to this place where I know stuff is going on so I can give you some real good evidence as what I believe is going on or what I see happening. And I can explain it to you because one of the questions that that people have that gets asked all the time, you know, the notion of quote unquote, if ghosts are real, why don't we have something like, why isn't it breaking news on CNN? Why isn't it like, oh my gosh, we have evidence at the Riverside Theater today. We saw this thing happening, you know, like while I think it's a valid question, but it's also of course used in a deep cynical way to like kind of slough off what you do, Todd. That's, I think that's a valid question for me personally, but, I think if what would get me
I think, Greg, it's similar to politics. Well, yeah. If so-and-so is such a bad person,
yeah,
why don't people, you know, are we talking about it in media? Yeah. Are people listening to it? I mean, we live in a society now where alternative facts are a real thing,
yeah,
even though they're not. You know, so the same thing. It doesn't matter. I can bring a ghost to you in a jar, if that were even possible, Greg, and you'd still possibly not believe, right?
Yeah.
We're no longer in a society where seeing, hearing, feeling is believing. Now it's whatever we're told is correct. So I think that's part of it. I think there's a fear because it's something we don't understand.
Yeah.
And after all the years of investigating through the 60s, 70s, and even earlier than that, to today and all the equipment that we actually have that helps us to investigate, even with all that and the audio of voices, the video of shadows, like we can't we can't come to you and say, here's a ghost. Mm-hmm. I have not been able to do that.
Yeah.
But I've had enough experiences that made me go, wow, that I have to say that I've been in some haunted places and I've seen and heard things that are not of this world, if you want to say.
And I think that's where I'm going with this, is that if we can make it work, because here's the other thing too, is I'll be totally honest. I'm a scaredy cat. And I think my first notion would be to be scared, because
wear Pampers. I mean, have some diapers on, because you may make a mess in your shorts.
Todd, that's not a problem. They're always on. Point is, is that if you and I were to go out into the world and you took me to a place where, like, I know where there's good energy and I know I can show you what I'm talking about, I trust you enough. I can't mm-hmm. say what the outcome will be, but I personally am willing to do that, because for me, I don't want to be, for one thing, I think cynicism is not a attractive trait in a human being. And I think just to say no is, it doesn't help you grow. And even if, for myself, if nothing comes of it, I still did it and I got to hang out with a friend and watch you do something you enjoy. And yeah. What I get out of it is, you know, I can't guarantee what I get out of it, but it will definitely be a positive experience, unless I forget to wear my Pampers.
Yeah, yeah, because nobody's cleaning up after you. I'm just going to tell you that. Man. That doesn't happen during an investigation.
Not a first timer. Calvin, what's up?
Well, I have a super nerdy question.
Oh boy.
For Todd. So I'm a little more plugged into the UAP side of things than the ghost side of things.
Okay, what does that mean?
Okay, it's the new trendy way to say UFO.
Correct? Oh, gotcha. Okay, all right.
Yeah, they had to change it because us old guys, you know, we get used to something and now there's something new we have to learn.
Okay, tamp it down, Grandpa.
So So in that sphere, there's people who believe that there's crossover interaction mm-hmm. between the spirit world and what people are experiencing as UFOs. Have you ever experienced anything that would suggest that to you?
I have not personally experienced that, but I've seen evidence that would make me think that. I mean, there's talk that things like Sasquatch and UFOs and paranormal ghost energies are all intertwined, that they're able to slip through some kind of veil and disappear and not be around. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that kind of can link together. If I were just a true paranormal investigator, I'd say, oh, I don't believe that. I'm dealing with people who have passed away. But I truly believe there, you know, again, I have to be open-minded to all this stuff. I've not had a UFO, a UAP, or whatever you called it. I've never had an experience in that realm. But for me to sit here and say there aren't any would be ridiculous, considering I believe that there could be a ghost right over here next to me. There could be an energy hanging out.
Well, I feel like this has a conversation for, we have to keep this conversation going another time. We're going to have to do more about this follow-up, because I would totally hang out with you, Todd, and do this. And Todd, I want to thank you for being on the show and having this great conversation with me. I want to thank Dan Schaefer. I want to honestly thank everybody, especially Jane Matinere, who trusted me to do this show in her stead for the past 2.5 weeks. Everyone here at Civic Media for trusting me as well. I've had a blast. Calvin, thank you so much for all the help. Could not have done this without you. Really appreciate everything you put into this show, my friend.
It's been a blast, Greg.
Excellent. Like we said before, Jane's on vacation right now, but she'll be back on Monday. It's going to be a great time having her back in the big chair. We got lots more to talk about. 60 days until the election. And for right now, we're going to bid ourselves adieu. But before we do that, to tell you, please download that Civic Media app. Listen to shows anywhere around the state, anywhere in the country. Take it to space. I don't care. Text and call through that app. But also, we got news coming up after the show, followed by the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2. For that, I wish you a good weekend. A great weekend. Thank you for reaching out to us. You are awesome. Let no one tell you differently. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Take care.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, be here next time when our old friend Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badgers, stops by with his annual picks, and our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a week in review. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth.
We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you